we go. As I had said earlier, my name is Chris Fortacker. Y'all said for me, right? Hey, would you mind doing? Can we turn this off so it didn't hit me in the eyeballs? We don't need it anymore, so that works out good. Let me detach it from here too. Might go off with the cord and just watch out for the camera. As I said earlier, my name is Chris Fortacker, and I lead the singlesnetwork.org ministries. I also lead a ministry called From His Hands, and that's my speaking ministry, which is, you know, is there any way we can cut that off out there so I could, it's hard to hear, and yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, guys. The mic, I like to move, so this kind of thing don't work for me, so I'm going to just project the best I can. If you can't hear, move up closer. Thank you for all participating in the icebreaker. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
You met some new people?
Yeah.
And I know some of you don't like that kind of stuff. Some of you, I could tell when I gave you a slip, you're like, oh, Lord. I'm going to have to talk to people I don't know. And I don't like these things. Well, I know it's tough. It's hard to meet people for the first time. I realize that. And I know a lot of you come from all different backgrounds and situations. Some of you are coming here, and this may be your first singles event ever. And you're like, what does that mean, single? I had a lady at a conference one time that she felt that singles were losers in her mind. Because she didn't know what we were. In her mind, singles were this lonely group of people. And I'm thinking, oh, I'd much rather be lonely as a single than lonely as a married person. Amen? Some of you know, you were married. And so she didn't really understand who we were. And I know some of you are here going, what is this about? What is going to happen here? What's their story? Do I fit? When I was young and in singles ministry, I didn't know if I fit. I always felt like if they knew my sin, if they knew who I really was, they wouldn't include me. Some of you probably have come in here and not really sure what everybody else's background is. But I guarantee you, everybody is not only was saying has a prayer need. Everyone is struggling with something. We're just not always willing to and share it. But I guarantee you, as you get to know people in this room and build friendships with them, everybody in here is struggling about something or has at one time. And that's the great thing about building friendships. We can be there for each other. Amen? So let me share a little bit about my memory of a friend. When I was a little kid, I grew up in a town called Southern Pines. Y'all know Southern Pines? Beautiful golf, horseback riding, tennis. I didn't do any of them. I was a poor white girl. My little niece is learning how to play the piano. She lives here in Charlotte. And I know like three songs that you just learn when you're a kid, you know. I sort of know Heart and Soul and Chopsticks. And I said, you know, I wanted to play the piano as a child, but we can't afford a piano. So what are we going to learn on? You go and take a lesson and come home and pretend, you know. You know. So anyway, when I was a little kid, I was in second grade, and I met this girl named Donna McCone. She was my best friend. She was my BFF when there wasn't even such thing as a BFF. And Don and I did all kinds of things together. We started off in Miss Wallace's class. And we ran a reading group together. And occasionally we'd get in trouble. I got in trouble. And for talking too much. So Don and I learned sign language of the alphabet. This is, this is pre-texting, okay? And we would learn, you know, the alphabet, you know, whatever, and we would communicate by spelling out words. Because you get in trouble, what are you going to do, right? And I remember we used to spend the night at each other's house, and we'd play Barbies, and I just, you know, she was just the best friend you could ever have. And we were friends all the way through our young years, and I remember I was at my ninth birthday, and I wanted everybody to know that Donna was my best friend. So I announced it to all the other children that had come and brought me presents. That Donna was my very best friend, and of course they thought that they were my best friend. And my mother about jerked my hair out of my head and said, "You don't do that. You don't show favoritism over one over the other." I said, "But it's true." And she said, "It doesn't matter if it's true. You don't do that. You're not going to ever have another friend if you go around saying things like that as if nobody else is your friend." And I go, "But she is my really best in, and she's trying to teach me from a young age about friendship. That granted, Donna was my closest friend, but when I say my best friend is so-and-so, I've almost excluded other people from being close to me. It's if I got a little clique, and they only this is my clique. Because I'm going to tell you what, guys, if you're following the Lord and you are living this life, you're going to have lots of friends. And people are going to come and go. And they're here for a season because some of them got to go. We're going to talk about some of them. Some of them he take away. You're like, what? You're like, what did I do, Lord? And you're trying. I don't want to think about it. Turn mine off. Yeah, turn mine off. You're trying to figure out why they left you. And God ain't telling you. But you're still there with a crowbar trying to open that relationship back up. And God is saying, I can't bring you a new person if you don't release the old one. And so my mom at a young age was teaching me the importance of friendships and that how I needed to behave among other friends. That all these young girls had come to my party and brought me presents. And each one of them was special. And as the host, I needed to make sure they felt special. Of course, Don and I grew up and we ended up going our separate ways, and I've been trying to find her on Facebook and I can't find her, and I find her sisters and her brothers. She had a ton of them. She was in the middle. I was the oldest, so I kind of liked that, you know. She had all this big family. Can't find her, but I know she's out there somewhere. That's what I love about Facebook, is reconnecting me with a lot of people, and some I wish wouldn't connect to me. Some old boyfriends. Again, wishing they wouldn't connect to me. But also some friends that I just want to know, what's God doing in your life? Do you have the handouts ready? No, the handouts for tonight that I sent you the outline. Can you go make copies real quick somewhere? Somebody can go make copies of the outline?
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Well, I will start and then you'll catch up somewhere in the middle. You know what's great about this is you don't even know if you missed anything, right? Man, I can just have a sermon. I'll be preaching. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Okay. Well, then I guess, we learned about some friendships. When I was doing research to do the game, I was thinking about all the different kinds of friendships that were on those little slips of paper. Miss, oh, thank you for being a friend. Were the Golden Girls? All but Betty White's dead now. She's making some money right now, isn't she? She's had like a second birth or something. But I think about all those different friends and some of the other ones. You know, I love Lucy and Ethel's friendship. That was a bittersweet one, wasn't it? In real life and on camera. But they had different characteristics, things that made them really strong and why some of them stayed together and some of them didn't. Some of them had TV shows for a short time and some had them for a long time, but secretly some of them weren't friends. I want you to turn to somebody around you and I want you to just share what were some of the characteristics that some of these people had, the little slips of paper, that made them really good friends. Just share where you're at. What made them really good friends? now you have whatever, but they really had it all along because of their relationship to Dorothy. They cared about Dorothy. They protected her. They cried with her. They rescued her. But they were...
They had it all along.
They had it all along. They didn't know it. But the enemy had made them feel, which was the wicked witch, had made them feel that they didn't.
That's good.
Yeah. He's a lot deeper than I didn't know you'd go back and watch The Wizard of Oz.
I never thought about that. I was just watching it for whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Was in the beginning. What were some of the things? I mean, remember he got blown there by his balloon, and they made him the wizard.
Okay.
And then they thought he had a lot of powers, and
but he didn't. He was just a little man. And he had this. They thought he was bigger than what he was.
Right.
And
he had wisdom. That was it.
And at one point, didn't he get like he revealed himself, or he?
Yeah, they got caught. He got caught.
Yeah.
And then he finally said, you know, I'm really not what you think I am. I don't really have this gift of talent.
Yeah. Sorry, that's my boy.
That's okay, sweetie.
Can you help? So, is it 2 pages?
Yes, it's 2 pages. It's 2 pages. It's the front and the back. But he's got the back. You got the front. Working, or I just needed a friend. And that's when God gave me this talk, and he said, Chris, you know, there are three kinds of friends. There are those that lead you, that are mentoring you, that are growing you in Christ. We need more of those, don't we? I don't know if I could ask how many of you have someone that mentors you, that holds you accountable, that speaks truth into your life, someone that doesn't expect anything in return. We need more of those. And the other one was the ones that we call friends, but they're really leading you away from the Lord. And then they're the ones that are balanced. And the balance is the ball goes back and forth in seasons. Sometimes our friendships are, it's just all about them. Maybe they're going through a divorce and they're hurting. Maybe they're going through a cancer situation. Maybe they've lost a spouse or a child or their job. And this is just a season. And then as soon as the season is past, then it's your turn. So let's share, let's talk a little bit about this. I'm going to give you a chance to also discuss more at your table and decide maybe which one are you. And some of you, mainly not so much which one are you, but which person that maybe you need to let go out of your life. Or maybe which person you need to pour into. Or maybe you need to be willing to be poured into. You know, a Christian's life needs to be fluid, right? It can't be stagnant. You can't have a lake and have nothing but God pouring into you and you don't pour out anywhere. Because if God just only pours into you, eventually your banks overflow and it kills everything around it. And if you only had a place that you're pouring out, a place that you're mentoring, a place that you're teaching and showing and guiding, you're the Sunday school teacher, you're the leader of that particular ministry. If you only have that, but you don't take time for Him and you, then you dry up and burn out and quit. So there has to be a constant flow in and then the flow out. And as the lake is constantly being nourished and has a place to give out, it stays healthy. And things grow in it. And fish live. Amen? So here's a little bit here. Friends that lead you towards Christ are people of influence. They can be younger, older, in your life for a short time or a long time. Some people are there, they're like an aunt or a teacher or somebody that you respect, a grandparent, and they've been there your whole life. And you look at them as a mentor. And sometimes they're just there for a short time. And you have to receive that and say, thank you, Jesus. I shared this with someone last night that someone else shared with me. They said, Lord, they said, Chris, remember, embrace everything, but attach yourself to nothing. And I said, do what? And she says, embrace everything that God has for you. Take it all in, but don't attach yourself to anything in this world because it's temporal. Because as things come in and go out, as the river is flowing, as the lake is moving, people are going to leave your life. Situations are going to change. And if you're so attached to that job, you're so attached to that person, when they're gone, your identity goes with that. But when your identity is in Him, it don't matter. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, but you're okay. You're like, you know, that person's gone, but I trust you, Lord. There's a reason behind it. It hurts like all get out, but I trust you, Lord. I loved my job. I was making good money. They laid me off. I'm mad because I don't have money to do things, but the Lord maybe has something even better waiting. But we gotta get over here. Amen? I have a lady who is mentoring me right now. Her name is Johnsy. She is a spirit-filled woman. Lives up in Maryland. And she has been the most amazing woman to me because she is being mentored. She knows it's her calling to then mentor others. 2 nights ago, we got on the phone and she spoke truth into my life. And she says, Chris, don't unpack those suitcases because God ain't through with you yet to teach the Word. Don't let the enemy make you feel like this is what you're going to do because this is what's going to happen. But here's some things you've got to learn. And she talked hard things to my heart that I had to listen to. But I trust her because she's only after my best interest. I have a board of advisors that lead me in my ministry that I talk to and I get advice from so that it's not just me making decisions about what to do and where to go because I need help, I need guidance. Friends that lead you towards Christ hold you accountable. Hebrews 13, 16 through 18 says, don't forget to do good and share what you have with those in need, for such sacrifices are very Their work is to watch over your souls. And they know they are accountable to God. Isn't that awesome? Give them reason to do it joyfully. Let me read that again. Give them reason to do it joyfully and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Pray for us where our conscience is clear and we want to live honorably in everything we do. Friends that lead you toward Christ teach you. They challenge you to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." They support you. They encourage you. They pray for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2 says, "We always thank God for you, mentioning you in our prayers." But here's the key to friends that lead you toward Christ. Are you willing for them to lead you? Are you willing to be mentored? So many of us say yes, but you got an attitude problem. You want someone to speak truth into your life, but then when they speak it, you don't like what they said. And you got to be willing to take what they've said, even if you don't always like it. Some people speak things into my life, I'm like, what the heck that came from? And I'll receive it, but I don't own it. I'll like go, I'll embrace it, but I don't attach myself to it. I'll pray through it to make sure it's what God wants me to do or what He wants me to hear. But I need people that are willing to ask me hard questions like, "What you watching on TV?" I decided not to have a TV anymore. I got rid of my TV 5 years ago. Now, TV is the problem. I see it at my brother's house. He lives here in Charlotte. I see it at hotels. But this is my problem. I can't stop doing that. And the stuff that's on there, you'd be like, you know, as a single, when a milk commercial gets you excited, you're in trouble. Milk does the body good. You're like, "Oh, Lord, help me." You're like, "I bind you in the name of Jesus," right? But friends, it'll say, "What is God doing in your life?" Do you ever go up to your friends and say, "What is God doing in your life? What has God spoke to you about today, Nolan? What has He said to you today? Not last week, but today. How have you shared Christ today?" We need people asking us those questions because the enemy don't want that. He don't want that happening. He don't want you talking to nobody. He don't want you talking to him. So we need people that are constantly bringing that up. Not, "Well, how are things going? You know, you found a job yet? You know, how's your little dog? How's your mama?" That's that surfacey junk that we all do. Instead of saying, "Can I look at your checkbook to see how you spent your money the last month?" Now, I'm not saying I'm going to give up my checkbook to nobody. But I'm saying, do we have friends that are willing to say, "What is God showing you?" And when you say, "He is showing me that I need to budget my money and that I need to be serving Him more," then they come back a week or a month later and say, "Okay, so what's He done? What you been doing?" I go to Walmart and I have to go, first of all, I pray for a parking spot. And if I don't get one close, I assume God don't want me at Walmart. Because I ain't walking no long distance. Now my friends would say, "Oh, we just keep circling around till we find one." But I will go if I don't feel like I can find a space, because I really believe the Lord doesn't want me shopping that day. Because I might be emotional. You know, I end up buying a big old box of donuts or something, right? And, you know, rent some movie that makes you cry. So, from Redbox. So, anyway, but I'll go and I'll buy stuff and I'll put it in the buggy and I pray as I drive that buggy and I put that stuff back. I do. But I want friends to hold me accountable. To be mentored, you need to be faithful, available, teachable. You need to be in a place that you'll want to make some changes to be held accountable. You want to have the right attitude. Some of us have a really bad attitude. We want God to do amazing things in our lives, but we are horrible in the way we respond to people. I'm just telling you guys, you got like chips on your shoulder. You're like, "How did..." Wait. You know, I want to say, like, "Well, what did you think about the sermon?" And you're like, "I was all right." "Well, what are you going to do as a result of it?" "Oh, well, I got to do something?" I want to know. Guys, I don't want to live this life living through these superficial, baby gifts. I want something more. I want deeper. I want people in my life that I see God making changes. Because I want them to be in my life. I want them asking me the hard questions. So I want to do the same. I don't have time for people just like floating along. The little, you know, there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. But there's people that are not living in the fullness of the Spirit. Call them what you want to, but you know what I'm talking about. Call them carnal Christians, whatever. But they're going to church and not going to church and struggling like I'm going to church and I'm trying to figure out God and I love those people. But I'm talking about they're going to church thinking nobody knows what they're doing. And they're fooling themselves. As friends, we need to go to our friends and say, you know what? That's not right what you're doing. You don't need to be going to those places. You don't need to be watching that stuff. But that leads us into the next one. To be mentored, you must be faithful, available, teachable. Are you teachable? I think all of us want help and you want someone to guide you, but you have a hard time taking it. We don't listen very well. I want you to turn to someone beside you, just one person, not the whole table, and I want you to tell about a person in your life, in your past, that helped you to be the person you are today. What did they do? Just turn to one person if you can. I don't want anybody by themselves, so turn to three. But what does somebody do in your life? That, how do they mentor you? How do they lead you to become the person you are today? Justin, don't talk to everybody at once now. You need some coffee or something. You're over here about to fall asleep on me. Wake your boy up. Y'all go here. Is this y'all's church here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, I don't know. Not like you got a sign on you said, Church of God, Central. There you go. Okay. Jesus Christ, you know, just know I'm in control. And that, and he goes, but I want, you have to hurt in order to minister someone's hurting. And if you've never had anybody leave you or reject you or abandon you or hurt you, how can you minister? So you're like, you know, you're like crying in pain. You're like, okay, I'll be, I'm being brave, but I hate it. You know, so.
I so love yep. that you shared that the Lord has really spoken to me through the night and encouraged my heart.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Baby.
I love it.
Thank
love
you. It. Thank you. It is. Amen. It is simple lesson. Sing. But years, years, many years ago, I sang ever since I was a little tiny thing. So I talked to. And I sang all through high school, college, into my 20s, every choir, every church choir I sang in, and did weddings, and just everybody knew I sang. And then one day I messed up. And I had been going around telling people they should let me come and sing at their wedding because I was good. You know how long God's going to let you say that? You know how long He's going to let you boast about yourself? Let me just tell you, it didn't take Him long. And I sang, I messed up, and I said, Lord, I will never sing again until You ask me. And that was 4.5 years went by. 4.5 years. And everybody knew that I could sing. And nobody asked me. But during that time is when the Singles Network was born. And so I teach that as an example of teach that, you know, God wants us to lay some things down, including people, in order to give us something new. But at the time, when He took music away from me, He said, Chris, you can still sing. Sing those show, girl. He said, sing out when you greet people. Sing just to sing in the car. It's still your gift. You're still using your gift to glorify me. But you kind of got to where your gift was glorifying you. I needed to break that from you. It took him 4.5 years to break it. I told you where I was. Well, years ago, I was involved in a ministry called Blessings, and once a year, we put together we brought all different groups around Raleigh. They came in and sing, and we raised money for the Raleigh Rescue Mission. And we had a sister church called Juniper Level Baptist Church. And they had a wonderful choir, and I wanted them to come sing, and they said, oh, we will sing if you sing with us. I'm like, I don't think so. And they said, no, you can't. If you don't sing with us, we're not gonna come and perform. Now understand, for some of you who know that you are African American, I'm not. Now just because you are African American does not mean you can have rhythm. I know that. There are some people who do not. But I was so afraid when I was singing that they would sway and I'd go the other way. And see, in my church, we sing we sing chorus and the, you know, right? And you end. You end. Oh, no, not at Juniper Level. You just keep going. Keep repeating. And so the song was Eye on the Sparrow. And they had me out front doing a solo. And they're back there doing their thing. And it was, they said, Chris, we saw you had some soul. And but it was a wonderful experience. But they kept going and I had stopped. And I've never forgotten. And fast forward 10 years later, I ran into a lady at Verizon and we're talking about Jesus. And she said, I know you. And I said, how do you know me? You never know. You know, you have to ask that question. And she said, you sang at our church. You brought a group, whatever. And I was like, man, I can't believe she'd remember that. And it just blessed me even again after all these years. So, but that's a whole other thing. So, people that poured into you, what are some things specific that they did? Give me a word. What did they do?
Questions.
Do what?
Questions.
They asked questions. Lots of questions. Well, I heard that was something you needed anyway. What else? What else do they do? People who pour into you, what do they do?
Speak
truth. What?
Kick your butt.
Kick your butt if you don't do what you're, okay? What?
Encourage.
Encourage.
I was just going to say kind of what Heather was saying. Speak truth, speak scripture, everyone. Something's coming against you to basically speak scripture instead of what?
Yes, and give you advice from what the Lord would.
Right.
Right? All right. What else?
Pray for you.
Pray for you.
Correct.
Be patient. Patient.
Love you and give you a fair fight.
Oh, love you and say, yes, ma'am. Consistence. That's good. Anything else? Good. Well, it's great. We got some great. So now you know what you need to be to somebody else. Amen?
Yeah.
I shared that earlier with Gwyneth. It's like, you know, not all of us have had those people in our lives, but we wanted them. And so just because you didn't have the perfect mentors in your life doesn't mean you can't be the perfect mentor. You can go out and start praying, Lord, who can I mentor? Who can I pour into? Who can I disciple? Because we know we spend a lot of time talking about who we get saved, but we forget that the journey just begins. And discipleship is really where it gets hard. It's coming alongside somebody and helping them to grow. So this leads us into friends that lead you from Christ, or so-called friends. They are unequally yoked. They don't believe the way you believe. A lot of times they're people that you date. You're on that missionary dating, right? You're on that mission to get them saved. And I'm going to tell you what, the older you get, the less likely you are to build a friendship first. Because you're like, I don't need to build no friendship with him. We're adults. We can go out to dinner and have a date. We don't have to build a friendship first. We can cut through all that. Really? I see what some of us happen as a result of that. No, we do still need to build a friendship first because we find out later that not only do they not believe in Christ, but they believe in some weird stuff. Or they believe in Christ, but they don't believe the way you believe in Christ. And so we're so lonely and so desperate that we will settle for less than God's best. I know, guys, I'm single. You can't tell me nothing. Not one of you. So you're going to be, Chris, you don't understand. Oh, yes, I do. And I'm a lot older than you think I am. All of LA. So there ain't nothing you can't tell me that I haven't experienced or desired in my life. But I'd rather spend the rest of my life alone than to be with the wrong person. So people, you'll date a person, they'll slowly start to pull you from God. It's so easier to pull someone down than it is to pull someone up. You ever see the stage? You stand up on a stage, it's easier for them to pull you off than it is for you to pull them up. We'll date people and hoping that we'll lead them to Christ. Does it happen sometimes? Sure. I've met married people that said, you know, when I met him, he didn't know Jesus, and I just kept praying over him, and 30 years later, he finally got Jesus. I'm thinking, man, 30 years when you were going this way. Man, how hard that is. So, one way, friends that lead you from Christ, but it's unequally yoked, not only in dating relationships, it's partnerships in business. I can't tell you how many people I know will partner with someone who doesn't believe in Christ. But he's really good at selling something. And they'll partner for that reason alone. And again, if you're being led by God and they're not, how are you going to come together? They're takers versus givers. The ball stays on their side all the time. That's how you can tell. That's not really a friend, is it? I had a friend of mine up in Seattle who finally, after 3 years of friendship, every time I'd fly to Seattle to speak, she never would come to any of the times I was speaking. Or she'd come and then she would like, oh, you know, I can't really stay. I just wanted to come and see who was here. And here I've flown all the way from North Carolina and I'm thinking, wouldn't you want to come and support me or run my booth or pray with me? No. And then I realize, oh, this is not a real friend. And I... they borrow money and stuff and they don't give it back. Now, you know, the Lord says, fine, let them take it. Here, my clothes, take it, whatever. Okay, I'm not talking about people who God has told you to minister to. I'm not talking about people who God has said you're mentoring them. I'm talking about people who you think are your friends, and this is the behavior that they're doing. A And you've tried to speak truth into life. You've tried to encourage them. You've tried to correct. You've tried to do all these things, and there's nothing. They don't change. They're in the same place, and in some cases, worse. They use guilt and manipulation to get what they want. Y'all know some people like that, don't you? My mom, I love my mom to death, and I'm going to share that with her at the end. But my mom is, moms are good at that, aren't they? Well, they're fine. Don't visit me. I'll just be in this house all by myself. You know, ain't nobody ever come down here. You know, you're like, what? That's not true, you know. But there are people that will do that on a continuous basis with a rotten heart to try to manipulate you to do things for them. They abuse you verbally and or physically. Now, you think that'd be a duh. You know, you're friends with somebody and they hit you. You're dating somebody and they hit you. You think you might go, you know, that's a deal breaker. But you know it's not. People will take verbal and physical abuse and stay in a relationship. They'll stay in friendships over it. I'm trying to reach it for Jesus. For Jesus. You know, one day. You know, okay. You know, can't you reach it for Jesus over here? They tempt you to buy things you don't need or want. Now think about that, girls. I don't know about the guys, but you'll be shopping with these girls, and you know you ain't got nothing left in your checking account. You done spent everything on that dress you're wearing, and you're out of you see some shoes that you want. You're like, aren't they pretty? Oh, they're so pretty. You should get them. Nah, man, I can't afford it. You should get them, girl. Yeah, but I can't afford it. But they're on sale. They might not be on sale next week when you get paid. But you know, I just really, you know, I can't afford them. You know, God's been telling me that, you know, I need to be really careful about what I buy. And, you know, oh, God, I understand. But we got people that do this. And sometimes we do it. You know you have friends that are financially strapped. You know you have friends that are working on a particular struggle. Yet you will then sometimes be the hindrance. And we know what God says about that. They never seem to grow spiritually. When I moved back to the Raleigh area a little over a year ago, my father had passed away, and I had moved down with my parents to help take care of my dad in the last 9 months of his life, which was an amazing thing as a single adult that I could do that. See, there are some good things, being single. And so after my dad had passed away, I moved back to Raleigh to my house, and I started hanging out with some of my old posse, and I realized they were like, I'd grown, but they hadn't. And there was two or three that were good. The two or three that I kept up with. But the ones they hung out with, I'd go out there and I'd hang out with them at these. We'd go eat dinner somewhere and go to a movie. And I realized that they never talked about God. They never talked about what God was doing. They never talked about ministry. They never talked about their church. They never talked about what the sermon was on Sunday. They're just like, ugh. I'm like, well, shoot, I can go to lost people and get this. At least lost people are passionate about their sex life. At least they're talking about something, football. But these Christians were boring, and they weren't living a life of passion and excitement. And I'm not talking about excitement in the flesh. I'm saying just, are you excited about what God is doing? And because of a two or three that I loved and I had a friendship with, I would go and hang out with the rest of them, and I would leave like... I'm like, there's nothing left. They just sucked it all out of me. You know, I mean, they're just like, there's nothing there. And I realize they're taken from me. I show up filled with the Spirit, and I leave empty. And I'm like, and I realize these were these people. Now, I don't know them well enough to speak truth into their life. I didn't feel led to be that kind of friend. But they were friends of friends. You know what I mean? Like, friends would call you and say, hey, there's a bunch of school dogs moving tonight. Why don't you come? Well, after a few times of this, and then some of the movie choices, I said, that movie ain't edifying me. That movie's pulling me from God. And I can't believe you're willing to go with them to that movie. It's not like you're going with a lost person. You're going with saved people. And I said, you know, my life is too short, guys. In a second, we could be dead. In a second. Do I want to leave this earth? What's the last thing you want to have read? The last thing you want to have listened to? The last person you want to have talked to? The last thing you said to somebody on this earth? What do you want it to be? So I built me a new posse. got me some new friends. And I built them one by one. I prayed and brought them into my life. And when we have gatherings, we go out and we talk about the Lord so that we can encourage each other to go out and deal with this lost world. Some encourage you to sin. Sometimes friends from your past show up. People you were in a simple relationship with. Some encourage you to drink again. And that was something you struggled with and you laid it down. They say, oh, one beer won't hurt you. My friends are like, one Twinkie won't hurt you. And I'm like, here's the first Twinkie. Here's the second. Here's the third. Here's the fourth. Here's the fifth. Yeah. Yeah, one didn't do anything. It's the 500 that did something. Understand, guys, your measuring stick can't be each other. It has to be God. You can't say, well, at least my friends are not, you know, at least I'm not as bad as her. At least I'm not as bad as him. At least I'm going to church. At least I'm reading my Bible. Really? That's your measurement stick. Because if that's all you measure yourself against, you won't ever grow. Because they're not growing. I want to be around people where iron is sharpening iron. I want to see their life change, and as a result of their life change, my life change because of his life. Amen?
Amen.
And finally, they get in the way of doing of what God is doing in your life. Friends that lead you away from God, they're like a thief who comes in the night to steal and kill and destroy. But Christ has come to give us life. Now if I said to you, Justin, he does not live a very abundant life. Right? Now what would you say? You say he's home. He pets his 40 cats. He opens up a can of sardines and fights with the cats over it. He just stays home. He has no life, right? So the opposite of that would be an abundant life. So it doesn't mean that everything's happy every day. I just love you, God. You know? I get mad at God. You know, for a long time I didn't. I didn't. I was like, oh, I can't ever get mad at God. He may strike me down. He said, Chris, at least you're talking to me when you're mad. And he said, I can get mad at him. I can ask him why. Why am I still here? Why haven't you come and taken us all? Why am I still single? Why do I not have children of my own? Why? You can get mad. You can get angry. It's okay. Because at least it's a relationship. At least you're questioning. And then he gets a chance to speak truth and say, well, Chris, you know, if you had a husband and a bunch of kids, you couldn't go do what you're doing. Oh. It'd been hard. And then you begin to see, wow, you've given me a special path that worked really well for being single. And maybe there's a reason. And then God has put amazing people in my life to fill in some of those holes, those hurts and those pains. I have an incredible family. I have nieces and nephews, and I have tons of kids at my church and people that give me love. And then I think of Jesus. Jesus was single. Maybe Jesus desired a mate. He's fully human. Maybe Jesus desired children because he loved kids. But God had a different path for him too. I'd rather choose God's path than my path. But I can still ask why. And it's okay. Remember, God loves you unconditionally. We love conditionally, but God loves us unconditionally. And if we even grasp a microscopic amount of what that is, the power that's behind it will change everything in your life. But remember, boundaries are critical in all relationships. You got to pray for your friends. The ones that are trying to pull you away, you got to pray for them. As you grow, they're either going to grow or they're going to go the other way. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be like, you know, you're just getting too religious. You know, and they don't like it. And they don't like that you're reading the Bible. They don't want to hear you going to church. They don't want to hear about your church fans. And then slowly you'll see them migrate away. You got to communicate with them that their behavior isn't acceptable. How it hurts you. Tough love, tough like. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth. Sometimes you need to take a break from the friendship as needed, and you need to evaluate. And then finally, the friendships that are balanced. They share back and forth. The ball goes back and forth. Different seasons of life. I have a very close friend, Anne Marie. And when I was on staff at a church, I called her almost every week and cried. It was hard. It's hard to minister to singles. And I'd call her. I was like, what is this? I'm going to call you and I'm not going to be crying. And she says, it's okay, Chris. Because it's going to, one day it's going to go the other way around. And it did. She got on staff and I got off staff and she called me crying. They grow in their knowledge of Christ so they can instruct each other. They hold each other accountable. They challenge. Romans 15:14. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct each other. The ball goes back and forth. You pray for each other. You support each other. Some financially, some with just being there with no questions. Sometimes just listening in the good and the bad times. Right? We need each other. Years ago, I had a horrible disease called vertigo. If you've ever had it, it is a horrible disease. It totally cripples the body. There's nothing more crippling to me than vertigo, because you cannot open your eyes. You cannot walk. You have to lay in a bed. There is nothing to fix it. But time. The first time I got sick, I was at a big conference in Phoenix, and I had friends all around me that took care of me. They called the rescue squad. They were so hoping to find that I had a stroke, but then I was like, "Who's that? Good Jesus!" Because they saw me spread out. You know, they just knew something bad had happened. But I had vertigo, and I had people all around me that loved me and cared for me and took care of me. That were my friends, people that I had built relationships with. The ball had gone back and forth. A few months later, I had an MRI and all the tests, and found that I was perfectly fine. It happened again around another group of friends at a conference I was teaching, and then it happened one more time in Greensboro, and I was in the hospital for a week. Couldn't open my eyes. It would take 3 months of rehabilitation to come back. I had a friend, among many friends, named Vera. And she came and stayed with me in the hospital. She came the very first day not knowing how long it was going to take. She came with no clothes, no toothbrush, what she was wearing in her purse. And she stayed with me in the hospital with the same clothes for a week. By my side. That's a friend where the ball goes back and forth. I would find out the reason I had vertigo is because I had a dangerous cocktail in my life. I was drinking enormous amount of caffeine. Starbucks was my best friend. And I was drinking these big, gigantic things of caffeine, which are like 4 to 5 times more stronger than an average cup of coffee. And I would drink 3 or 4 of those a day. And I was drinking so much caffeine because I was having to stay up all night because I was so busy. And I was traveling so much, and I was so afraid that God wouldn't open a door. I kept opening my own doors. And so when the doctor said, "We realize that your caffeine is resulted because you're working too much, and you're working too much, and you're not getting enough sleep, and you're not getting enough sleep because you're not doing this," and we couldn't find out, all of these things were causing the vertigo. So I took 3 months off and got better. Reconnected the way I needed to God. Understood that He was in control, opening the doors, not me. I stopped trying to run my ministry, and He started to run my ministry. And I've never had it since, and that's been over 3.5 years ago. Amen? God was doing something to show me what He was trying. He got my attention. It took 3 times. Some of us takes a lot more than that. They protect each other. They protect each other against the enemy, against lies from other people, and physically. You have friends that you hear gossip about, you hear junk about. A friend protects them and says, "You know what? You really, first of all, you're gossiping. Second of all, you don't know what you're talking about. Third, you need to go to the person you're talking about and get the truth." You protect each other. Luke 17:3 says, "So watch yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Friends that balance each other forgive each other. It's hard, but we do. We forgive. Because we are human. We do make mistakes. We laugh and we cry together. Last fall, I fell off a horse in the mountains. I was on this horse. It's this great place. I called him up and asked him years ago. I said, "Hey, do you know, you take riders that are a little bit bigger. Because last place I went to, they had a weight limit and I couldn't ride. I'm thinking, how did John Wayne ride? He had a big horse. They didn't have no big horses. So I called up this place and I said, hey, do you take larger people? He says, honey, if we can load you, we can haul you. I said, woohoo! So I, every chance I get in the mountains, I go riding. And I was coming down the mountain and the horse stumbled and I fell over top of him. And fell on my back. While I was laying there crying, kicking my feet up and down because of the pain in my back, it took me an hour and a half to get me off the mountain, then another hour to get me to the hospital. At some point in time, the pain turned to joy because I got to witness to every person at the hospital. And then it was funny watching my friend Anne Marie, who was with me. I had to use the old people's elevator, like disabled old people, the little chair that goes up the steps. She lives in a retirement center, so I had to like ride that little chair up the steps to get to the room. And you just had to laugh. Because, you know, life is funny sometimes. We do things for each other. One of the greatest gifts a friend ever gave me was after I taught a conference for 3 days and I've been on my feet were killing me. And she says, Chris, take your shoes off. And she rubbed my feet. People don't like to touch people's feet. They're like, ew, got some crusty toes. Let me give you some money. Go get them feet fixed. By the way, I love pedicures. So if you ever want to bless me, give me a pedicure, you know. But she rubbed my feet after 3 days, and I've never forgotten that to this day. They encourage each other. They love each other by putting their needs first. 1 Samuel 20:17, Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow of friendship again, for Jonathan loved David as much as he loved himself. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. All friendships must start with God. Matthew 6:32-34, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't go nowhere. You know? God seeks a relationship with you. Genesis 6:9. This is the history of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless man living on earth at the time. He consistently followed God's will and enjoyed a close relationship with Him. As a result of this relationship, this is our purpose. Our purpose is a relationship with God that glorifies Him, and as a result of this relationship, a relationship with others. Exodus 34:14, you must worship no other gods, for only the Lord, for He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with you. So as a result, you become God's friend. Romans 5:11, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. What's cool then, as a result of this friendship, then you're friends with others for His purpose in the right way. Finally, it says 1 John 4:11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When you ask God, when you spend time with God, when you build your relationship with God, when you draw closer to God, He's going to tell you who you're supposed to be friends with. And He's going to take some people out of your life and you're not going to know why, and you need to leave it and just say, okay, they're gone. It's okay. It's okay. Whatever happened to so-and-so? You know, different seasons, God doing things in her life, you know, whatever. You let them go because you know God is doing something else in your life. Because you're close enough to Him, you heard Him tell you. Just wait. It'll be worth the wait. I want to share a final thing. I ask a question here. Think about each of these people in your life in relation to your friendships, what you need to do differently, what needs to change. And here's a listing here. I want to share a final closing story about my mom. And by the way, we have a fun game that we're going to play here in a minute. And then we have prizes. So we'll get up, move, but it'll help you move, okay? So don't be thinking you're leaving, because you ain't leaving. My mom, I told you, recently lost my dad. And And my dad was my stepfather. He wasn't my biological father. He came into our lives when I was 15 years old, and he brought Christ into our home. He loved my mother so much that he married her in her brokenness and raised four children that weren't his after raising his own children. So they had a wonderful 30-year marriage, and he died of Alzheimer's and cancer about a year and a half ago. And so I'm thankful for the time he had in my life. My mom now, of course, is single. People say, oh, you're going to get married again? And she said, you know, I had the worst husband, my birth father, and I had the best husband. And she says, no, I'm just going to let God be my husband now. And so she's learning this newness about being single. And she says, you know, Chris, of course, I'm Flossie. That's my nickname in my home. Flossie. Flossie, I would love to go on one of your trips. I said, really? Oh, I think it'd be fun. And I'm thinking, okay, it could be or it couldn't be. We're either going to have fun or I'm going to kill her. And understand, I had gone down and she's trying to sell her house at the beach and she's going to move closer to me. And I had gone down to help her at her house and we did have fun. And I have learned some things about my mom I never knew before. Well, we went on this trip down to Louisiana and down into Texas. We were gone for a little over 2 weeks. And I got to know things about my mom I never knew. I heard stories I'd never heard. I found out my mom has a sense of humor. She's really witty in a strange way. Please understand, my mom's entire life has been wiping noses or wiping behinds. You know, my mom's entire life is cooking and cleaning and serving. She never had a lot of time to just sit and be with me. She was busy serving everybody. And for the first time in my life, I get her to myself. So I'm learning that there's a human being. There's a caring person. There's a person who's hurting. And she said, you know, you're the only one that ever asked how I'm doing. People have already forgotten that he's gone. And they never ask, so how are you doing? You're the only one that understands my pain. And I said, because it hurts me that he's gone too. I miss him all the time. I keep his comb in my car so I can smell it to remind me that he's here, you know? So anyway, we were going on this trip and we had the best time. And on our way down there, we had a situation. We're in Atlanta and it's pouring down rain and there's traffic. It was like 5 o'clock. I don't know what I did that for. But we're driving through. It's pouring down rain and it's dark outside and it's traffic bumper to bumper and people going kind of fast. And I pull over because I wanted a snack. So I pulled over and got me a little snack, and so it took forever to get back on the highway. I mean forever. People are like driving fast, you know. You can't get in, you know. So finally I get back in. We're driving another 20, 30 miles. I say, hey, Mom, could you get me some Cheetos? So she reaches back there to get some Cheetos. She just reached far. She pulls the bag. I'm like, oh, thank you. I said, Mom, you know you get that cheese on your fingers, right? I said, hey, Mom, can you get me a baby wipe? She's like, ugh. So she reaches back there to get a baby wipe. I said, well, I can pull over. No! Don't pull over! I'll lick your fingers if I have to. I said, did my mama just say she'd lick my fingers? Your mama lick your fingers for you. But we had a great adventure. Somewhere in the middle, we both got a stomach virus. We're at my aunt's RV. She lives in an RV. Four adults in an RV with stomach viruses. Memories. But on our way back, we decided to stop in New Orleans because we were close to New Orleans. Because people said you have to go to New Orleans just to experience it once. She asked, should she clutch our purses as we drove through New Orleans? She's so cute because she doesn't get out much. So we take her through downtown and she sees Bourbon Street and she's like, oh my gosh! And just all the stuff that's there, all the psychics and just stuff of just the devil. She just said there's just so much darkness there. We stop and we got us some Cajun food to say we got some, and I got a picture of her going, you know, it's a little hotter than she thought it would be. And we got some of those famous donuts. I forget what they were called. And yeah, we got some of them. And we looked at all the freaky people walking around. And, you know, my mom's sheltered. You understand that, right? You know. And as we're leaving New Orleans, she waves goodbye to it. Goodbye, debauchery! Goodbye, all you Talbot readers! I said, Talbot? They're Taylor, Mom, that's a store! It's Taylor readers! My mom has become a very close friend. And although she's my mama, she's also my friend, and she's a friend in a way that she never was before. Now, I hate that it took my dad to be taken away for that to happen. But it's a new season. I don't know why my dad had to go, but I'm going to embrace this next season in my life. So embrace whatever God has for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for the fun, the laughter. We thank you that we are single, even though some are saying, But Lord, we thank you for this season of our lives, that there's a reason behind it. Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to be patient with this. Help us to have wisdom in our decisions. Help us to wait on you. But Lord, so we may also pour into someone else, that we don't sit and just complain about what's not right. But Lord, that we instead, based on our relationship with you, we would pour into others. Not that I'm telling them, Lord, but you know that as you grow to you, it is natural. So let's be who we would want to pour into us. Let's be that into someone else's life. Thank you again for the ministry that's happening here. And that, Lord, for the rest of the evening, we can have fun, we can eat, we can fellowship, we can play games, and just grow closer to you. In Christ's name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Okay, I hope.
One more time. Did you guys enjoy Chris? This was awesome.
Yeah, I'll play. Okay. Okay, we're going to play. This is going to get you up out of your seats. We're going to play scavenger bingo. Now, some of you, have you ever been a singles ministry long enough? You've played this game. So what you're going to have to do, here are the rules. Okay, not legalism, rules. You must find the person by matching the items of the person on the sheet. So for instance, someone might have on blue shoes. Name might be Susie. Someone might have lived in Toledo, Ohio. Okay, but here's the thing. I can't go up to Justin. Watch. Shh. I can't go up to Justin and go, Justin, which one are you? And then write his name down. You need to ask him. And you get three tries per person. So you need to stand up. Read the instructions are right here on the top. Read the instructions. We're getting the sheets to everybody.
Do you have to ask them?
Yeah, you have to ask them which one of them. Like, ask them, do you have... Some of them you can be able to see. But, you know, somebody has a tattoo, might not be obvious. Okay, not where you're at. No, ask your friends right now. You gotta wait. Everybody's gotta get up. And wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute. Not everybody has a sheet yet. These people don't have sheets yet, so you don't want to be unfair. Okay? What you're gonna have them do? Okay, guys. You're gonna go up to various people and you're gonna ask them three questions that are on there. Some of them will be obvious because you can see that they have red shoes on, and they need to sign their name. Okay?